From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in Psalm 138. The great theme of this psalm is worship, particularly how God's people are to worship Him. First, please enjoy a brief devotional thought taken from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Psalm 112 and verse 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Christian, you ought not to dread the arrival of evil tidings, because if you are distressed by them, what do you more than other men? Other men have not your God to fly to. They have never proved His faithfulness as you have done, and it is no wonder if they are bowed down with alarm and cowed with fear. But you profess to be of another spirit. You have been begotten again unto a lively hope, and your heart lives in heaven and not in earthly things. Now, if you are seen to be distracted as other men, what is the value of that grace which you profess to have received? Where is the dignity of that new nature which you claim to possess? Again, if you should be filled with alarm, as others are, you would doubtless be led into the same sins common to others under trying circumstances. The ungodly, when they are overtaken by evil tidings, rebel against God. They murmur and think that God deals hardly with them. Will you fall into that same sin? Will you provoke the Lord as they do? Moreover, unconverted men often run to wrong means in order to escape from difficulties. And you will be sure to do the same if your mind yields to the present pressure. Trust in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Your wisest course is to do as Moses did at the Red Sea. Stand still and see the salvation of God. For if you give way to fear when you hear of evil tidings, you will be unable to meet the trouble with that calm composure which nerves for duty and sustains under adversity. How can you glorify God if you play the coward? Saints have often sung God's high praises in the fires, but will your doubting and desponding, as if you had none to help you, magnify the Most High? Then take courage, and relying in sure confidence upon the faithfulness of your covenant God, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
My love.
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns continues a series based on Psalm 138. The text is verse 3. "In the day when I cried, thou answeredst me, and strengthenedst me with strength in my soul." This message is called Timely Answers to Urgent Prayers. Dr. Cairns first emphasized the need for a constant awareness of God's presence, and this should be the normal experience for all of God's people. The first theme in the message is found in David's words, "I cried." This expresses the agony of prayer. David often found himself in difficult and painful situations, something which is frequently true for those who seek to live for God. And now, to bring God's Word for today, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
"They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. That's God's promise. You can run and not be weary, and walk and not faint, because in the day when you cry, God will answer and strengthen you with strength in your soul. So as Christians, we're all meant to live in the experience of this text. This is the Christian norm. This is the scriptural norm. You'll notice that I'm not even going to develop these things, but I want you to notice that this means it's describing a life that's lived in the awareness of the presence of God. A missionary to what were Iron Curtain countries, who used to do a work smuggling Bibles in and going and meeting with the Christians during the darkest days of communism in Eastern Europe, wrote a book and preached often on this very thing of the presence of God in the life. And he even went to preach upon cultivating the presence of God. Cultivate God's presence. What does it mean? It means by the grace of God, with your Bible open, get on your knees and understand the promises and let God's presence and joy fill your heart and take away those things. However the flesh may enjoy them, however the carnal mind may desire them, take away those things that would shut you out in the cold from God's presence. Living in the awareness of His presence, living with a nearness to the throne. There is a mark of every great man of prayer. That is, he does not only have stated times of prayer. Oh, he does of those. There is the time when every man of prayer enters his closet and closes the door and gets alone with God. That's vital. But every great man of prayer lives so near to the throne that whether he's in the closet or in the marketplace, whether he's in the church or in the business, he has an open line of communication with the throne of God. Living at the throne. Why shouldn't we? We have what some of the old preachers used to call a throne union with Christ. What does that mean? That not only are we one with Him in His death for our justification, but we are one with Him in His resurrection life for our constant victory and sanctification. And if we're one with Him who is sitting at the right hand of God, then we have access to the throne, living with a nearness to the throne. And of course there's living with a reception of the answer of God. Now let me put it to you very simply that anything less than this is sub-Christian, and anything less than this is unscriptural. And yet, if we are honest, we must confess that for very many professing Christians, we live without any personal enjoyment of any such great privilege. In many cases, what James says, the problem is still the problem today. You have not, because you ask not. Now let's take that very simply. You have not, because you ask not. Now I'm going to make a statement that really condemns us all. If God's people spent as little time and put as little energy and effort into any other part of their lives, whether it's earning a living, feeding their bodies, caring for their children, or whatever, if they put as little time and as little energy and effort into any other part of their lives as they do into communion with God, they would long since have either died off or ended in bankruptcy, or else, to use a very vulgar in the proper sense of the word, vernacular term, they'd be basket cases, unfit to live. You have not because you ask not. The number of Christians who have the minimum input into prayer is alarming. The number of churches that have the minimum praying, that indeed practically never pray as a church, is alarming. You have not, because you ask not. The number of families that never meet together to pray tells the story of why so many of our homes are hurt and broken. For many others, it's you ask, but you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. In still other cases, prayer is hindered by a whole host of matters. I haven't time to go down them in detail, but I'm told in Scripture that unconfessed sin is a hindrance to prayer, for if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. He that confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Unconfessed sin will rob you of the blessing of being able to get timely answers to urgent prayers. An unbelieving heart is a hindrance, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So without faith it is impossible to please God. An unforgiving spirit is a hindrance to prayer. This, I think, is one of the most bitter reasons why the devil can oppose us in prayer. It is one of the most potent weapons that the devil has. You have Christian against Christian with an unforgiving spirit in the home, bitterness between husband and wife, between children and parents, between parents and children, between brothers and sisters. In the church, you have one Christian against another, and there's that bitter spirit, and they will not forgive. Jesus said, when you stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. And let me tell you, my friend, if God is unwilling to forgive us, he's unwilling to hear us in anything. So this is serious for a Christian. An unsanctified family life is often a hindrance. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3 that husbands should dwell with their wives according to knowledge. There's a depth of human psychology. There's a depth of marriage counseling in that statement that few of us ever realize. Let them deal with them and dwell with them in knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And isn't it funny how people focus on little things in the Word of God, and they want to question them and want to ask, what does it mean? Giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel. And they forget the rest. Giving honor as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. There's a whole host of reasons why Christians do not live in the enjoyment of David's experience, even though they may live in it, and they ought to live in it. It's not that these things make void the promise of God, but that promise is conditional. And you can't enjoy the fulfillment of God's promise if you flagrantly violate the conditions that the Lord has attached to the promise. Now let me ask you to have a good look at your life today. Let me ask you to have a good look at the things that stand between you and the enjoyment of what David's talking about. Is this not something to be aspired to? Is this not something to be yearned after? Is it not something that every Christian would honestly say, Lord, with all my heart and with all my soul, I want this. In the day when I cried, you heard me and you strengthened me in that time of crisis. What price? What price do we as Christians put on that communion with God? What value do we put on it? Maybe it'd be better to turn the question, how much do we love the indolence and the sin that's invaded our lives? Because I want to tell you, if there's anything that you hold on to, knowing that it will keep you back from that joy, you've made it a veritable idol. Tragic place for a Christian to be. This is God's norm. But as we come to this is supposed to be the message now I'm coming to, so I'm going to, having taken the first part, the introduction, I'll have to be very brief on the message. But I want you to know this. When I say this is the norm, this text, don't misunderstand that. See what the norm really is. And that norm is in three related themes. What's normal for a Christian? First of all, there's the theme of agony. I cried. The word and the idea behind it is one of extreme and urgent need. It describes an anguished soul in deep distress. It describes the painful sufferings of one who is in overwhelming perplexity. I cried. That cry may be with actual framed words, but it may well be that there is no coherent words or expression of this pain. It may well be that the psalmist is saying, Lord, I have often been in the place where I'm so deep down in my need, I'm so agonized in my soul that I cannot even get the words to say. I don't know what to say. And I'm so distressed I cannot say them. All I can do is cry, help me, Lord. Help me in the day of my distress. There's agony here. Now here's the thing. That's normal for a Christian.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.